Friends, what a joy to be here. And first, I wanted to ask you to continuously support and pray our Pastor Don, because I had heard of the beautiful work of God here in Vernon. And I was excited to come and see it with my own eyes. And it was such a joy then to be able to come here. I have been dreaming about that since last year. I came to conference in Penticton. And I wanted to have come. It didn't work. So this year it worked, and it's my joy to be here. As Pastor Don was saying, I come originally from Brazil, but about 12 years ago, we heard of the need for church planters and for ministry in Quebec. You've probably heard of that need. Quebec is a mission field that is right here in our backyard. We had just learned to love Quebec. And it's interesting that the government of Quebec was recruiting skilled workers in Salvador, Brazil, in the northeast of Brazil. Can you imagine that? And they went there with all these pictures of beautiful Quebec, but there was no temperature showing in the picture, if you know what I mean. It was beautiful. It was amazing. God brought us to Quebec. We learned French, and we planted a church downtown Montreal that had a group of daughters, and that has become a little movement of God in Montreal. We started serving with the fellowship, our group of churches in Quebec. We started a youth academy that is helping youth to be deeper in their discipleship, and then sharing the gospel as an overflow of this discipleship. And then we also brought, we're getting closer to 30 missionary families to Quebec, because Quebec is still considered unreached, because it's at 0.8, and missiologists, that's my formation. We say you gotta be at 2% Christians engaged in a local church to be considered a reached people group. So we're working for that. And my last work in Quebec was a campaign that I was a part of our team there called Unreached No More. And you can pray for that. We want to see Quebec reached for Christ. But then as I'm doing that, as you can see, it's a little feeling of a missionary movement, and we're encouraging and moving the hearts of youth to join that too. And as we're doing that, our president of our fellowship nationally, he says, Norton, I need you to bring some of this Brazilian fire to national office. And then here we come to a new immigration. You know, we came from the kingdom of Quebec now to the kingdom of Ontario. You know, and I don't know if you've been to Guelph, Ontario, but it's pretty flat. It's an interesting place. We had never been suburban people. We've always been urban, in the center of urban centers, in different places in the world, sharing the gospel. And then here we come, we're in Guelph, Ontario, and we need your prayers for us now to become Ontarians. So please pray for us. I've been married to Tatiana for the last 25 years. The reason I'm asking you to follow me on social media, if you have Facebook or Instagram, it's because I want you to see more pictures of the most beautiful woman in the world. There are some pictures of her there. And also, as we're serving in different places in the world, I'm telling stories, I'm keeping you updated with what God is doing in different places. Let me see. Where's my clicker? Just a second. It's in my backpack right here. Show on the go. I'm sorry. Oh, it's right here. There we go. Look at this magic. Amazing. Yeah, so we are... Vernon is a part of our movement called The Fellowship, right? And I love this mission that says a movement of churches making passionate disciples of Jesus Christ. In Quebec, in Ontario, in BC, all over, we're serving for that. And I don't know if you know, but you are part of a family of 500 plus churches, and some people just don't know. And it's beautiful to know that the church I planted in Montreal, Église 21, sharing the gospel in downtown Montreal, it's a sister church of your church. And that's why I'm here. That's why I wanted to come and see you, because God is doing beautiful things through this movement of churches. And the one I get to lead is this department called FAIR. That stands for Fellowship, Aid, and International Relief. And what we do basically is to bring gospel hope for those in need. When you hear of an earthquake, when you hear of a difficult situation in the world where people are suffering, that's when I don't sleep. You know, there's an earthquake in Myanmar, you know, and I'm not sleeping because that night is us trying to discern, how do we help? Can we help? Who do we help with? And we're always trying to make sure that the hope of the gospel is there where people seem to be experiencing hopelessness. But the gospel is hope, especially for people that are in deep suffering. And that's why we exist. And I'll tell you more stories about that. But the way we do that, and that's very important, is always from, to, with, and through the local church. So it's a lot of local church. And I would have four stories for you, but our time is limited. You got to invite me to other lunches and pizza parties and other things, and I will come. I love to eat. And good food. Can you thank Pastor Tyler? Yesterday he fed me. It was very good food in his home. God is good. But talking about the local churches, I go into Ukraine, and what I'm doing there is I'm finding 72 local churches that are doing amazing work as the war is raging. We're seeing the gospel preached, and people are being loved on in the name of Jesus. It's local churches all over the world. There are four local churches in Sri Lanka where even persecution is happening. But they are there. They have school projects for kids where they're forming kids from their early age to be followers of Jesus. And I could tell you more stories, but that's what we do. Always with the local church, from Vernon to the world. We're doing work, and I could tell you stories about Lebanon, about Honduras, and I will tell you some, but our time is limited today. I'm so excited to be with you, and I want to tell you all of the stories, but I think I'm going to have to be back here another time. But we do that. Can we read this Bible verse together? Let's do that. In the same way, let you. Amen. Amen. And the reason we want to serve people, it's all to the glory of God. So we are not an NGO. We work according to God's design, which is through the body of Christ, right? It's from the body of Christ here, through and with and to the body of Christ, wherever there is need of gospel hope. That's what we do. And it's all for the glory of God. And we're very excited to do that. But you can see a little bit of who we are. So we have served in 60 plus countries. We have 70 plus current projects and 19 active missionaries. So one of the reasons I'm here, it's because I want to recruit missionaries. And I'm talking, coming from Vancouver, a couple that drove me, they are in early retirement. And they said to me, oh, we still have so much energy. And I'm like, oh, you never say that to me. I'll find you a project. And for real, at the end of the conference in Penticton, they come and say, give us your card. We want to do that. We want to get engaged with a project that's making a difference in the world. Or maybe you're a young person. I'm a Faith Baptist Church in Huntsville. Do you know Muskoka region there in Ontario? In Faith, I speak at Missions Conference. A few months later, a young man calls me and says, Norton, I have my summer free. Take me anywhere you want. I'm like, don't say that to me. Because a few weeks later, he was in the middle of the flooded area in the south of Brazil. So many thousands of families lost their houses and they are under suffering. And this Ontarian young man called Kalen Fleming is there doing kids camps. And the kids and the families are coming to Christ. So we're bringing gospel, hope, whatever there is need. We're going to bring the light of the gospel. And this is super exciting, huh? One way we do that is through child sponsorship. So we are in 5 countries in different projects. I would love for you to talk to your family about that. Even to people that don't know Christ, they want to love on kids. And sometimes connecting with this missionary opportunity is an opportunity for them to know the gospel. And for you to participate in a simple way. It's a small engagement, but the connection with the kids is amazing. I am in Honduras, okay? I am praying with the orphans for Canadian people that support them. You want to be prayed for? Support these kids with our child sponsorship. And I'll pray for you with them when I am visiting. But I am especially here to say thank you. Because maybe you didn't know that you were making a difference in Ukraine. Our ambassador in Ukraine, a fair ambassador, is called Pastor Andriy. And he sends me fresh messages. If you wanted to see, come to my phone later on. But he sends me fresh messages of how we are blessing the church all over Ukraine to bring gospel hope for those in need there. I'm talking about the city of Rivne that has quadrupled their population because people are fleeing from the east to the west. And then these cities are flooded with people, but they have a place where they can get food and clothing and help to get established. And it's the local churches of Rivne that are doing that. And we're supporting them. Isn't this beautiful? It's amazing. I love it. I just love it. Yeah. And you are part of that. And I want to say thank you. And the way I do that is I like movement in the room. So can you just give somebody a little punch and say, hey, thank you. You give to that. We're doing this. Go ahead. Please do that. Just a little soft. Don't be too hard. Just lovingly. You know, say thank you. A smile expresses that, right? Thank you. I came to say thank you because I was with our missionary in Lebanon a few weeks ago. And this is a missionary family that cares for Cedar Home. These are girls that are orphaned or abandoned from Syrian refugees in Lebanon. And our missionaries there, Karim and Rita, and their 2 daughters, as the war is raging just recently in Lebanon, they said, we can't leave. And we are at the office praying for them and even checking the legal issues of that with insurance and all of that. But they said, we can't leave. These are our daughters. These are girls that we've seen babies and loved. We loved on them and we just can't leave them. And they stayed shining the light of the gospel in the middle of the war. Isn't it amazing what God does? And I don't know if you know, I didn't know if you know. That's why I came here, to make sure you know that you are helping Karim do that and Rita. And you can be in touch with them. You can hear from them. And it's good when we know what God is doing. That moves our hearts for worship, isn't it? We gave a house, in fact, a few houses that we gave together for families that lost their houses. You know, they were in regions where bombing happened in Ukraine, and then they had to leave. They had lost everything they had. We together gave a house to a family that lost their home. And then the picture that you have there is of missionary Sergei, a friend of mine. He became a friend, brother in Christ that I met in Ukraine. And he goes and visits the family. The family gets a house and now they get a personal evangelist. Hallelujah. You know, that goes there and shares the gospel, prays with them. And they're coming to Christ, being baptized. My friends, God is doing amazing things as we love people in his name. Our current campaign is Colombia. And I won't speak much about that. But I don't know if you know, 30 years ago, we sent missionaries, a bunch of missionaries into Colombia. And I'm talking about Medellin. This is the city that is known worldwide because of the Cartel de Medellin. The richest man on earth one time was Pablo Escobar. And there were 20 murders. People were murdered 20 a day in this city. It's a city in war, huh? But then he was killed. Medellin is getting renewed, and it's part of our missionary work. Today, as a fruit of your missionary work, our missionary work together, we have 17 churches in Medellin. We have 5 church plants going on there. That's amazing, isn't it? And now we have 10 FAIR projects, helping the poorest of the poor. I was telling Tyler the story yesterday. We're talking about a neighborhood that I'm visiting, and the neighborhood is completely dominated by the gang. You can have water, electricity, internet. It's kind of like the gang rules that area of Medellin. And we are there. Every year we have 100 kids that are in our soccer project. On Saturday playing soccer, on Wednesday being discipled by our missionaries. Isn't it beautiful? And we're aiming to plant a church there. How do we do that? Under a gang control. Oh my Lord. God is doing this. You know, it doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter how poor, how desperate. We're going there with the gospel, bringing gospel hope for those in need. These are pictures of our annual report. They were supposed to be here for you to have a copy and take it home and celebrate what God is doing. But they will come later. I've talked to Pastor Aaron. We're going to find a way for them to get to you. Isn't it a beautiful smile? I love this smile. Yeah. And then we get, my friends, to the Word of God today. And the word I would like to share with you is this sermon called Overflowing Mission. Because we can only give what we have received. And this is based on my experience in Ukraine. I go there and I'm seeing, I thought I was coming to help, but I'm seeing that I am the one being fortified, strengthened in my faith. Because I see these women and men, warriors of the faith. You ask, why didn't you leave? They're like, because the gospel needs to be preached here. And I'm like, ay, ay, ay. So I'm being impacted by their, but I don't know if you understand. They are not doing that out of a sense of a religious obligation. It's because they have this faith in God that is such a strong faith that I want to have just like them. And I think you do too, that they are just practicing the what I call overflowing mission. When you receive something from the Lord that is deep in you, what happens is that you can't help but share. You can't help but have a word of faith, a word of care, have compassion and love towards people. That's why I named it the overflowing mission, because we can only give what we have received. Pastor Volodymyr is right here, 71 years old. 4 children and 8 grandchildren, okay? His city is sieged for 40 days, bombed and bombed and bombed. And I asked Pastor Volodymyr, why didn't you leave? And he's like, because people needed to be saved here. People needed to hear the gospel. People needed the comfort that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can give. And I'm like, oh my Lord, I need to learn to be like him. And then the God of the Word of God, the God of the Bible, gave me this passage to share with you. We've read it already today, and I'm going to go then right away into the first part. First verse of the Bible says this beautiful declaration of worship. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And I call that worship. You know, when we're like, praise, we want to praise. And I was telling people that I went to visit the church of this pastor right here, Pastor Petro. It was a Wednesday afternoon. 250 elderly people, their families have left. They have nobody else to care for them. The Missionary Baptist Church of Chernihiv is their home. And on the Wednesday afternoon, they are there to worship. And it's loud. Loud to a point that my ear is like, you know, it's loud worship. They can't stop praising the God of all comfort. Friends, I call that essential worship. What I mean by essential worship is that it's not like an act of a religious practice. It's because you see the nature of God so evident in front of you that naturally what happens, we praise Him. I call that essential worship. In Quebec, the word, the verb we have for that is émerveiller. Let's practice our French this morning. Everybody come with me. Émerveiller. Oh, not too many French speakers here, I see. But émerveiller means that you are in awe. You are in wonder. Merveille is wonder. It's so wonderful. You see the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Father of compassion is who He is. He is the God of all comfort. And when you have experienced that comfort deep in you, what happens is that you cannot stop but worship. It's a natural act of worship. It's much more than singing, right? It comes from deep within you. And the problem that may happen there with you and I is that maybe we're not experiencing that. And we're living off somebody else's faith. We have what I call a second-hand spirituality, right? I've heard of the faith of somebody. Sometimes I think that some of us need to go to Ukraine. We need to be in war zones and in situations of despair and very hard situations so that that would call us back into a faith in this Lord of all comfort. Sometimes we're too rich. We have too much. And it's kind of like we need nothing. So we forget the God of all comfort until a cancer comes, huh? My mentor in Montreal is fighting his fourth. He was our general director at the fellowship in Quebec group of churches. And the people at the office say he is a new man after his cancers. He was born again in terms of faith, in terms of love and engagement with the Lord and loving people. Suffering changes us, huh? When we see and we experience deeply the God of all comfort and the Father of compassion, something happens in us. It's worship. And the photo of Pastor Pedro here is just to remind us of what happens when a person of faith is present in the midst of suffering. And you are worshiping this God of all comfort. People see it and they get changed. And these elderly people and many people are coming to Christ in the city of Chernihiv. It's beautiful. And then out of worship, what happens is mission. But I'm always careful to say, don't be a missionary out of religious obligation. This is not how it works. It's got to be overflowing mission. It has to be because the Lord of all comfort has visited you. Then you can talk, you can be a witness, right? Acts 1:8. You're going to be my witnesses from here to the ends of the earth because you have seen something. The question I have sometimes is like, have we seen it? Or are we just stale? Are we just not warmed? You know, and we need some renewal of our faith. And sometimes exposing yourself to missions, and I am a recruiter. I own it. If you need missions to awaken your faith, I'm the guy. Come to me. Come talk to me. I'll find you a mission field. Look at what this text says. It's the God who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You got a special thing. I forgot the story of the picture in the first service, so people are missing this. This man is called Valera, and his wife is called Irina. In the beginning of the war, he was drafted and sent into the front lines. But he has three kids When you have three kids, you're not supposed to be drafted. It was a mistake. But he was in the front lines for 6 months. And I had never spent a day with somebody with PTSD. You know, like they're really trembling and they're shocked by so much craziness and horrible things of war. But how is that possible that this man of God, one of the chaplains that we support in Ukraine, how is that possible that this man is telling me, I thank God that in his province, he allowed me to be sent into the front lines by mistake. He's saying that. And I'm like, God, what's happening here? He says, it's because of that. It's because he was in the trouble. And he remembers the bullets flying and he's clinging. He's close to this God of all comfort that comfort us in all our troubles. Why for? What's the reason for that? It's because so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. 6 months later, the misunderstanding got resolved and he was sent back. And now he is our chaplain and he holds seminars and retreats for the families of wounded soldiers, all soldiers that have died, and he's preaching the gospel and caring for these people in the west of Ukraine. Isn't it amazing? And this man is telling me, I thank God he sent me to the front lines because I speak from experience. I was comforted and I can comfort people. Isn't it beautiful? Please hold, I'm going to get personal now. And I know that Canadian culture is a little more reserved than my Brazilian culture. I carry a deep sadness in my life because my wife and I cannot have kids. And if you have somebody in your life like this, you know the sadness there is there. And as we're church planting in Montreal, Quebec, there was a time that our church had 50% of its members were couples that could not have kids. My executive assistant was amongst them. And she said, Pastor Norton, I thank God for your suffering. In a session with my wife and I and her husband. And she says that, and that marked me. Because I'm like, what? Like, how dare you say that? But I don't know if you understand the depth of what she was saying there. She was saying that with the comfort that my wife and I had received from God, we were able to comfort others. And that became a movement of love in our church. And people came to Christ off of that. Isn't it amazing the mission of God in our lives? What God does, he gets the most horrible of our suffering and he transforms that into a way of serving and loving people. If we meet the God of all comfort, there's an if there. If we meet him, our suffering becomes submission. Not out of like, I want to be a missionary. I can't hold. It's my suffering resolved and blessed with the visitation, the presence of God in my life that becomes healing for the nations. Amen. That's what happens. That's us as missionaries. We can't hold. We're missionaries because of the overflowing mission of God in our lives. It's not like out of religious obligation. Friends, I am convinced that God wants that for us. That we, and I don't know your suffering. Are your children away from faith? Are you facing cancer? Are you fighting depression now? Is your couple going through a difficult moment right now? I don't know what your suffering is. The only thing I know is that there is a God of all comfort. That comfort us, I just need to ask you. Can I ask you a question? He comfort us in what? All our troubles. It doesn't matter what your trouble is. I told you mine. I know what yours is. I know that the God of all comfort can comfort you. I know that he can come and visit you in a way that you're so resolved. You're so blessed in the midst of that suffering. And that's what I saw in Ukraine, that you become somebody that can bless others. Isn't it amazing, our God? That's mission. And then we come to the good news, and we're going to get close to completion here. Because this is the family of Pastor Misha, as you can see here. There, his wife is Ina, you know, and this is a group of chaplains that we, you, us together, we support in Ukraine. And every month they go into the front lines. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. They live in the west of Ukraine, you know, where the war is not raging. It's where it's more peaceful. But they, every month, take a group of people with him, including the young a daughter of his called Ina, 21 years old, and they take a car, in fact, it's a group of cars, and they go into the front lines to love on the soldiers that are in the hospitals in situations that you would imagine, to love on their families and to love on them, to help them and to preach the gospel to them. Instead of fleeing, instead of leaving suffering, I saw the family of Pastor Misha going towards suffering. Where is the most horrible? We will go there because people need salvation. Because people need to be saved. People need salvation, that is this meeting with this God of all comfort when you don't have the God of all comfort in your life. Have you heard of anybody else that has done that? Instead of running from suffering, went into suffering so that you could be saved. I love this cross here, the empty one. We are here to celebrate the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ today, aren't we? We are here to say that, praise God, the God of all comfort, that when I was comfortless in my life, my Jesus was not afraid. He ran into the suffering of my sins and into everything that was the most disgusting and dishonoring about me. And he owned it on the cross. And he took it all on himself so that we don't need to carry our sins. And we can be free. Amen. Isn't it amazing? It's because of the gospel that we are, that we do, that we overflow in missions. Is that we are a missionary people because we were saved so perfectly. We were comforted so perfectly. We were loved on so perfectly that we want to share that with the world. What's the verse? It's, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. It's interesting how the suffering gets transformed and becomes, on the other side of a meeting with God, it becomes good news. How is that possible? I saw that in Ukraine. I was there for you, representing you as your missionary, seeing these pastors and finding ways to be meaningfully a support for them. And I saw people that are experiencing just that. And I came here to say thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being those missionaries with me, through me, with Pastor Misha and his family, through Pastor Misha and his family. Why don't we end with a story, right? Because I am there at Pastor Volodymyr's church right here. And during the war, he's hosting Bible studies. 16 people were in the Bible studies, believers and unbelievers. You know, they're studying the Bible. And you don't understand. I forgot to say that in the first service. It's because every 3 hours or so, there's air alerts. It's a weird place to be in. Because you get used to the possibility of dying, you know, like that. You know, because you're there in the Bible study and all the cell phones are, you know. We just bow and say, Lord, protect us. It's an interesting experience of faith. Pastor Volodymyr is holding these Bible studies for weeks. I am there to celebrate with them and to be at the graduation. And then Pastor Volodymyr, at the end, he comes and says, is there anybody in the group of the 16 people that want to give their lives to Christ? And I am astonished that this woman stands. You know, she comes to the side of the pulpit, just like this. In Ukraine, they are a little rawer than us, you know. In Canada, we're soft with people. We don't want to, expose people or something, right? We're very careful. In Ukraine, they're like, Pastor Volodymyr is like, why? Do you really believe? Tell us about it. Like, what's happening in your life? How did you see the? He's kind of like grilling her, kind of like a baptism questioning, you know? Maybe he's kind of grilling her decision. He wants to make sure that she really believes. And he's grilling that in front of the church. And this woman, it was a testimony of faith for me. She's solid. She's telling about her salvation and how God has saved her and how she has found God. And she's saying, I saw in this church a comfort that is so, supernatural. How do you say that? Supernatural. That's what I wanted to say. I'm sorry. So I'm going French here. Supernatural. She's saying, I came into a comfort in my soul here that I had never had in my life. I don't think she says that, but she's almost saying, I thank God for the war. I didn't know this comfort. And the situation of the war has brought me here to this church and has taught me a comfort in my soul that I never want to lose. And this comes from Jesus, and I believe in Jesus Christ with all my soul, and that's why I want to give my life to Him. Isn't it great? Isn't it awesome that through a situation of suffering like this, people can find gospel hope? That's what we do. We bring gospel hope for those in need, and we do that with you, from you. So I don't know if you knew that you had a missionary out there. Hello, I introduced myself. My name is Norton. But I am very glad to serve you, and I'm very glad to come here to say thank you. For you, with your participation, with your prayers, with your support, we're able to bless people like some of these stories that we've shared. Pastor Misha, Pastor Petro, Valeria, Irina, and Pastor Volodymyr, and many others. So thank you. A question I would have for you now is this. What is your suffering that you need to bring to the cross, to bring to the God of all comfort so that He can comfort you today? Because He wants to use you as a missionary to bless people that are suffering just like you. So I just invite you to come to Him. And I don't invite you carelessly. I've been there in my journey of life. I've shared some with you. And I've seen people that have done the same. So I'm inviting you deeply to consider bringing your suffering into the hands of the Father so that He can comfort you profoundly, as this dear sister of ours has just experienced.